this is Amy Smith with Eastern Sierra Now. I was in the office today. We're doing some construction here with High Point Solar, and I was just thinking to myself, you know what I could go for? A beer. Lo and behold, Jesse has set us up here because we've got the champion of beers with us today. Literally the champion. And
Rocky, it is so good to see you.
Thank you so much. Actually, it's Sam and he couldn't be here, but you got second best. So.
Well, that's debatable, but I'm happy that you're here with us today. And when I say champion of beers, I really mean that because you are with the Mountain Rambler Brewery and you have just come away with some really prestigious awards for two of your beers.
Yes, we did. And it's a huge honor. We're just so excited at the brewery. We took second and third place this year in the World Beer Cup. And it's something that we've just got one third place award a couple years ago. And
wow.
We came really close, and to get to this year was just beyond us. So we're so excited.
That's incredible. Tell me a little bit more about the competition itself. How do you become entered into the competition, and how many people are you competing against?
So generally speaking, on an average year, there's about 10,000 beer entries. This year there's 9,300, I believe, or 600, 9,600 beers entered.
Oh my goodness.
Beers from all over the world. There mm-hmm. was 110 different categories, so about 330 opportunities to win. And so it's the most kind of prestigious beer award internationally.
It must be. That is such a high level of competition. So of the 9,300 entries, you've won a second and a third place.
Correct.
That
yes.
is incredible.
Yes.
Yeah. And as you said, there are brewers from all around the world in this competition.
Correct.
And we're
over 2,000 breweries this year.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Do you know how many of them were from the United States?
Entered total? That's a really good question. I know there were 50 countries entered into this competition this year.
Wow.
So. Out of the 330, I'm not sure how many of those were U.S., but I'd guess it was the majority was the U.S., just because we have so much great beer here. So a lot of the competition comes from our home court.
Yeah. Excellent. And where was the competition held this year?
This year it was in Vegas.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Really fun to walk around and see so many people who had never been to Vegas before, because Vegas is just so wild.
It is.
I will. Anybody's mind.
It will. And I was there recently and I saw the Sphere and I couldn't believe it. It was just right out of the middle of nowhere, and to see the graphics rolling by, it was incredible. So that, at a minimum, if you've never been to Vegas before, is pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive, yes.
Okay.
And this during the competition or the beer festival, there was a fish playing, so it was a nice mix.
Yeah, and fish was actually at the Sphere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, did you get to see any of the show?
You know, I didn't personally, but I have some friends that went and met someone randomly who helped build it, so I got to ask and pick
cool.
his brain about just kind of the engineering details about it, which was really fun.
Well, you were a little bit busy, so you couldn't get to the concert, but you were winning the awards. What was it like to actually be awarded for two of your beers?
Oh man, it was wild. I mean, you're sitting in a giant, like the biggest room I've ever been in, with thousands of people, and there's just a constant flow of traffic going on stage for people to win the awards, and there's all these screens, you know, because you can't, you know, see the stage and hear everything. So it's just listed on there what's happening, and you're just kind of watching the screen and going, you know, they're moving through each category. You don't know the order that they're pulling from. And so we were all sitting there with Sam, the head brewer, and Joe, my boss, the one who owns Mountain Rambler.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just sitting there waiting, and we just see our name pop up, and we go wild. We go crazy.
Wow.
It's a big celebration. And so we walk through the audience, you know, thank you.
Uh-huh.
we get up on stage, and then they give you this plaque. And they take your picture, and then you move off stage to, you know, go through the process of kind of taking the photos and then getting back to your seat. So it's kind of a really big circle. And
yeah.
So we did the really big circle and said hi to everybody, and everyone's congratulating you. And then we go and sit down, and we're sitting, we're all stoked about life. And then they call us again.
That's what I was doing the second time.
Yeah.
That's great.
We were expecting the second time. It's just, Yeah, it was a really fun experience.
Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. And you entered three beers, you had said.
Yes.
And two of those beers came away with awards.
Two of them won. Do you want to try them? I happen to bring some over.
That's what I've been waiting for all day. I would love to have some beer with you. Tell me a little bit about the first award that you won.
Sure.
And tell me about the beer and why it won in that category. And it was it in a category or is it just...
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
So we entered two of these categories that won. So the Peaklet Porter, we entered it in the Robust Porter category.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 6.2%.
Oh, see, that's my kind of beer.
Uh-huh. Now we're talking.
That's great.
Yeah, and this one's really well balanced. It's got just a nice flavor to it. It's not too sweet. It's not too in your face. It's just a really nice balanced porter, in my opinion.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. And a porter is a darker beer.
Correct.
Is it the darkest beer?
No.
No, it's not?
It's not.
No. What is the darkest beer?
Currently at Mountain Rambler, our darkest beer is the Imperial Stout.
Oh, wow.
The Dark Star.
Okay.
And that one will get you.
Uh-huh. Is it a high alcohol? And 6.2 for the Peaklet Porter. Mm-hmm. I said that right? Peaklet?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So 6.2, is that a high percentage of alcohol for a beer to have, or is that kind of on the...
I'd say that's kind of closer to average. I'd say like 5 to 6 is like your kind of a nice in between, like a medium.
Great.
Yeah, medium scale. If you're having like a session beer or something lighter, I'd mark it more at like 4%, something like that. You get past 7%, then I'd consider it a stronger
beer. Alcohol content.
Yeah.
When you are, and this might be trade secret, maybe you can't share this with me, but when you are determining the recipe for that beer, what things are you taking into consideration for the porter?
So we have our base kind of recipe that's kind of been designed and modified and like chemically tested for just kind of the right balance ratio, so we know how much salts to add, we know how that interferes with the water that we're using, and then it's just kind of a fun like building game. It's what grains do we have on hand and how close can we come to the original recipe. Sometimes we have to substitute a bag of this, a bag of that for something else, so it's always a little bit of a work in progress.
It's so fun. And then as you're doing that and you're determining this recipe, are you meticulously noting what you've put into each batch so that you can duplicate it if it's the batch that you want?
Yes. And it's interesting, kind of the scale of the beer is kind of changes. So, I started off as a home brewer as my background. I was a home brewer for the last 4 years. And you can't just take a basic like 5 gallon or 1 gallon recipe and then scale it up to 500 gallons. It just doesn't translate the same.
I see. And I was going to ask that when you start with a new batch, how many is it, how much are you brewing?
Right. So so for this Peaklet Porter recipe, we have the recipe calculated for like a smaller batch size. Normally we start off with about, it's like 17 barrels, and each one barrel is like about 13 gallons. So,
Puts it into scale for me.
Yeah.
And I see the big, they're called vats. I see the big vats at the brewery. Those are massive.
They're massive.
Do you build up to that scale then after you've kind of fine tuned the taste that you want?
So we're brewing at that scale.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pretty much per batch. Well, I guess the ones that you see right when you enter and open the door, that's the biggest.
Yes.
So if you walk in the back sometime, you'll see that are the ones that we use are about 3/4 of that size.
Oh,
so each one is still around like 500 gallons, more or less. So it's a lot of beer.
That's amazing. Let's taste that one. And then I have questions for you about the other, but I want to taste this one. What was it, as you're opening it, I'll keep talking to you.
Sure.
What was it about this beer when you tasted it, when you realized this is the recipe, this is what I want to move forward with?
Well, so this one has been a work in progress.
Yeah.
And we actually entered these beers a couple years ago as well. And you get tasting notes back. Sorry about all the head. I just don't want to spill.
Oh, that's okay.
Floor.
we can the floor.
Sorry about that.
It's all good.
So we had got tasting notes back, and we came so close. So as part of the beer tasting competition, kind of ritual. Uh-huh. It goes through three different rounds of judgment. So if you make it to the past the first round, then you move to the second round, and then you move to the third round, and then it gets considered for the final, you know, winning. Uh-huh. So through each stage, it tells you if you made it to the first stage or the second stage or the third stage, and they give you tasting notes on, you know, what you could do better or what, why you didn't win, and so you can improve on your recipe, which is pretty cool.
So you took tasting notes from a previous competition and then incorporated them back into this, into the Piglet Porter.
Yeah, so I didn't do that personally. Sam and Joe did. Uh-huh. But yeah, that was kind of the process that it went through to kind of perfect it and get it to where it is now.
And this is brewed in Bishop.
Correct. Yeah, this is brewed in Bishop.
Cheers. Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Sorry, Jesse, you don't get any. You can drink all of beer. Hey. Oh, there you go. We got a beer for Jesse.
We got the can.
Yay! Oh, you get all the beer. This is so incredibly smooth.
Yes.
Was that part of what pushed you into, this is the second place finisher out of the entire competition for porters?
For the robust porter.
For robust porter. Yes. It is so incredibly smooth. Yes. Is that something you think that propelled you into that position?
Yes. I think this is a really well balanced. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice mouthfeel. It's mm-hmm. got like a chocolatey kind of flavor to it, but not overbearing, so we're not in the chocolate stout category, it's got kind of that burnt like flavor to it, the roasted, you know, roasted malts and stuff. So
it's like, I love espresso.
Yes.
It's like the perfect espresso.
Yes.
Would that be an okay way to compare it?
Absolutely. It's funny you say that, because we actually do a Sheeplet Porter, mm-hmm. Where we take this exact same beer, mm-hmm. and we divide it in half, the mm-hmm. whole batch, uh-huh. and we infuse it with a black sheep coffee. And it becomes our Sheeplet Porter.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Yeah.
And it has a caffeine content to it, then, too.
It sure does.
Oh, so you have beer with your morning breakfast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
This is really, really good. What else am I tasting in here when I taste? What else are the judges looking for when they're judging a beer like this?
Ooh, you know, that's a really good question. I would have to look at just the notes from this year and see how they marked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll have to share that with us.
Sounds great. Yeah. Come on by the brewery and ask me again.
Oh, I would love to. And you know what else I would love to see is where everything is brewed and everything is made. If we could come in and take a look, we could share that with our audience as well.
Oh, absolutely.
For me, I really enjoy this type of beer, and to know how it becomes this would be fascinating.
Absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good job.
Sounds great.
All right.
Yeah. Come and talk here.
Yeah. Just keep drinking it until then we'll get to the next.
Okay. Sounds good. Finish
it up. You're this kind of is a very good beer, by the way. I wanted to go, yeah!
It's really we should turn the camera back and get you drinking your beer. Yeah. It's delicious. It's really, really good.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Amy Smith here with Eastern Sierra Now. Thank you so much for joining us. Jesse and I are here working on the Eastern Sierra Now building on May Street, and it's the end of the day. What I could really go for is a beer, and we're so fortunate because we've got Rocky here today with us. We are drinking beer from the Mountain Rambler Brewery. We've just had our first beer, so if you can hear that in my voice, I apologize. You are the champion now of brewing, and we've got a second beer to try. Yes. And before I'm unable to speak, we should hear a little bit more about that and what went into winning. This is your third place?
Third place, yes.
Oh, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the World Beer Cup, we're really excited. Mountain Rambler just kind of nailed it this year with the World Beer Cup, and we took third place in the Scottish Ale. So
amazing.
Yes.
Okay, so we've had the Porter.
Correct.
So tell me a little bit about the Scottish Ale, and tell me where that ranks amongst beers.
Amongst beers, well, it's definitely not the most entered category, I'll say it that way,
okay.
But it's I think we really hit home with this beer and knocked it out of the park with just, you'll taste how complex this one builds and has different flavors from start to finish. You'll just kind of have a nice experience. This is probably our most popular beer at the Mountain Rambler.
Okay.
People who come and try our beer, this one really stands out. So I'll meet people from all over the place, and they'll be like, oh, is that the one with the Scottish Ale? Is that the Seven Gables? Yeah. You know? Wow. So Scottish Ale, in general, I think we had 14 other people entering in that category, but mm-hmm. it's not like a really popular one, like a hazy IPA or Kolsch, you know, like mm-hmm. a blonde, you know, blonde mm-hmm. is a really popular category that people enter into. Mm-hmm. So as far as like where it ranks, it's a malty beer. That's mm-hmm. what you're going to get with a Scottish ale. It's going to be brown, malty, complex in flavor. It's almost like having like a, you know, when you go to the holidays and you have like your one like slice of whatever your favorite thing is, it's like that decadence.
Yes.
That's what this beer represents.
Now, mm-hmm. with that being said, do beers have different sugar contents? And does that mean that this one has a higher sugar content?
Yeah. So this
is it a sweeter taste?
It's a sweeter tasting mm-hmm. and it's a maltier style. And generally with the maltier styles, you pull out more of that sugary flavor profile. Like that's kind of what you're going for. It's not going to be super hoppy. It's not going to be bitter. Mm-hmm. It's going to have more, sugary notes. That's a better way to say it. Sugary and malty. But this one is really, really nicely, tamed. It doesn't taste sweet, like overly sweet. You know that like, oh,
yes,
that's a sweet beer.
it's not candy. Not syrup. It's still beer.
It's still beer.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely still beer. So yeah, with that said, shall we?
Oh, yes. Yes. Let's taste this one as well.
Okay.
And the porter is my new favorite, I think. So now let's see if we can rival it with this one.
Well, that's the interesting thing about beer is you really never know until you try it. Mm-hmm. Like not all IPAs are created equal. Mm-hmm. Not all porters are created equal. And if you've never had a Scottish ale before, this is a damn good one to start with.
And I have never had one before, so this will be my first experience.
Oh, my gosh.
And I like beer, so I've tried a lot of different types of beers, but not this one. So.
Well, I will try to do a better job of pouring this one.
The last one was perfect.
That's right. Okay.
And a question for you as well. I've seen people at the brewery have kind of a flight of beers.
Absolutely.
How many beers are included in that flight?
So you can have four to seven, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
No, four to six. Yeah, four to six beers in a flight.
Uh-huh.
And I recommend trying like light to dark, generally speaking, maybe leave the IPAs towards the end.
Okay.
Because with the IPAs, they tend to just kind of take over your flavor profile, you know, mm-hmm. in your mouth. If you try an IPA and then you go to try a Kolsch or something lighter, uh-huh. it's going to taste like an IPA. Yeah.
So you start with the lighter beers and then you move up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So should we give Jesse the extra beer on this one?
I was going to say, we can't.
Jesse,
leave our camera anymore.
Here's for Jesse. Right. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Yeah. A hard day's work.
It was today. It's fitting.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's very different. It's very different from the porter.
Yep.
It's lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say something incorrectly, because I'm just kind of talking off the cuff at this point, but it's a little bit lighter.
Yeah.
And it is sweeter, but it's not sweet.
Correct.
And it's just a nice, clean, beautiful taste. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this.
Indeed. Yeah. This one surprises a lot of people because mm-hmm. they'll look at the color and they'll say, I don't want any, you know, dark mm-hmm. things. But if you mm-hmm. like a brown ale, if you like a red ale, like if you like mm-hmm. the maltier styles of beer, mm-hmm. you'll really appreciate this one.
It is a lot lighter than what the color would make you think it's going to taste.
Exactly.
And if you were to close your eyes, I would picture that a lot lighter. That's mm-hmm. that's delicious.
That is an interesting way to taste. Mm. I kind of wonder what it would be like to be a beer judge or a beer taster if you had to close your eyes and try beer.
It should be a blind test, I think.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
I think they do that for wine. I wonder if they do that for beer.
We'll have to find out about that.
I'm going to have to ask. Yeah.
No, this is absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
Yeah. This has become one of my new favorites.
Cheers. Jesse agrees.
Indeed. Yes.
Good. Good job.
Yeah.
Very, very good job.
I had my family visiting this past month because I've been getting my new business up and off the ground, and they've been coming to help me out. Mm-hmm. It's Root Down Community Hub, if anyone wants to know. But they came into the brewery to do some flights, and normally they're not beer drinkers. They're tequila drinkers or margarita people. And light beers. My dad always wants a Heineken, you know? And my uncle's like, just give me a Bud Light. I'm good. Yeah. Like, but just try these. And they came in and tried all our beers that I wanted to. And they all across the board love this one.
This is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is delicious. What were you thinking about when you were creating? See, I'm already. Yeah. I'm just going to start that right over.
Yeah.
What were you thinking of when you created this recipe?
So I can't take credit for this one. This isn't my recipe. Mm-hmm. This was designed before my time at the Mountain Rambler.
So it's been around for a while.
Like, it has, yeah. It's been a recipe in perfection. I'll just say it that way. Yeah.
How often do you think the recipes change?
I would say the recipe, like the majority of it stays the same. Mm-hmm. There's always different variables that you're not quite expecting, you know, to happen on brew day. Mm-hmm. So they say that there's just a luck to beer brewing.
There would have to be, because you know, you go to Vaughn's and you pick up, or wherever you get your produce from, you pick up lettuce one day and then you pick it up another day, and there's a different taste, there's a different quality. Yeah. Ingredients taste different throughout the year. So do you find that in beer brewing as well?
It's a little bit more consistent, but yes, there's definitely a variability to certain types of ingredients, like yeast and hops. Like yeast is live thing, and you can't always guarantee there's going to be as many, you know, live cells in this batch versus this one. So we go through different rounds of harvesting the yeast, and that changes. And then with hops, you know, the growing season's different, and you can taste or you can smell and taste the difference between an early season hop versus a late season hop. Uh-huh. And those pellets that you get, or, you know, if you're doing fresh cone, we don't do fresh cone at the brewery. It's just a lot of waste. But
What is fresh cone? What does that mean?
A fresh cone hop is like, have you ever seen a hop before?
I have, yeah.
Okay, so it's like that green bud.
Okay, okay.
That, if you just dry that out and you don't do any processing to it, that you can use, it's called fresh cone hops. Hop beer, and so you throw that into the beer, but it absorbs a lot and doesn't give you a lot of the flavor, like the oil compound that you're kind of after for a hop profile. So often breweries will use pellets.
Oh, okay. And I've seen the pellets as well.
Yeah. So they go through this whole process to get them smashed down into pellet form, and each one has their own just different flavor profile. So that adds to the beer, and you can't guarantee crop to crop that that's going to be the same. So there's different variables. The grains are a little bit more consistent, although again, you're doing grain, you know, growing, you know, anything can happen to a crop.
How long does it take from the time that you begin to brew the beer to the time where you can drink the beer?
So generally speaking, for most styles, it's anywhere from like 2 weeks to a month.
And what about this one?
So this one is, I'd say, about more on the 3 week spectrum. Yeah. It's kind of like an active process. So you got to wait until the bubbling stops from the fermentation process and the yeast start to die down. There's like a gassing that happens whenever yeast do their thing and create alcohol. And so you can tell, because there's this tube that goes down into a bucket that shows you like how active they are.
That's amazing. I have never had any access to that information or seen it or understood it.
Oh, fun.
That's fascinating.
Yes.
That's how that you're actually waiting for the yeast to take their process, and when their process is completed, then you get to step in again.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So brewing beer, you're actually working with a living organism. And it's an art. There's chemistry, but there's art, there's taste, there's all of those things that brings you to this creation.
Absolutely.
And it's delicious. And it's no wonder that this won third place in the world beer. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Really, really good. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely it's an art, some of it's luck, and it's just, you know, you never really know what's gonna come out and how it's gonna come out. Sometimes it's a beautiful accident.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah.
That makes a lot.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Amy Smith with Eastern Sierra Now. I'm so happy to be here today. I do have to warn you, I am two beers in, and we're having such a good conversation with Rocky from the Mountain Rambler Brewery. See? we've talked a lot about your two winners here, and they are absolutely delicious. I would recommend everybody go and taste these. Amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Why don't we end with what's going on at the brewery, what we can look forward to other than these amazing beers. And
absolutely. I'm so glad you asked. So we have a lot of different things happening at the Mountain Rambler. Mm-hmm. This month we have the Rambling Peaks Festival on May 11th. Yep. Come on out. It's an all-day festival. Mm-hmm. Tickets are required, so I recommend just either going early, getting your ticket, or just purchasing it online. Mm-hmm. There's going to be live music all day. There's all the local vendors available throughout the day. There'll be food trucks. There'll be beer, obviously.
Great.
We'll be pouring there. Uh-huh. You can also come enjoy... come and enjoy. I'm two beers into. That's what I said. Come and enjoy the patio if you can't stay all day, but you want to pop in and enjoy some music. That
section it's such a nice space.
is a free way to see the show, mm-hmm. Although limited seating. So, mm-hmm. you know, just plan to pop on by or come and enjoy the day with us.
Great.
So May 11th. And we always have our beers rotating, whatever we have coming in and out. We're kind of transitioning into the summer, so we'll have lighter profile beers uh-huh. for you to come and enjoy after, like, an adventure
in the mountains. In the Eastern Sierra, what we do every day, our adventures.
Right. Yeah, we try to keep the rotation fresh. And we're always happy to come and chat about beer, you know, come and give us your ideas and suggestions. We just... we're there for you, so we'd love to chat about it.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you once Indeed. More.
Yeah.
And enjoy mm-hmm. drinking our beers.
Indeed. Come and grab a crawler to go.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, I want to thank Sam and Joe for supporting me through my Mountain Rambler process. They couldn't be here today because they're off doing their own thing. So here I am representing Mountain Rambler, but come on by and see us. We're happy to chat and share a pint. Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. This is Amy Smith with Business Matters on Eastern Sierra Now. If you would like to come and talk about your small business, we would love to hear from you. If you want to bring beers, that is always an option as well. To get in touch with us, please visit info@easternsierranow.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Rocky, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.